It's a very good morning to you and welcome to a Friday morning on news and reviews with me, Zane Johnson, in for Clarence Ford this morning. Now, earlier on in the show, I had mentioned the fact that, you know, everybody's out there, they're buying vehicles and you are looking at buying something for Christmas because you know that you've got a suspended payment until next year. You don't have to pay until next year, May or next year, March. And it's a nice thing to do is to actually go and buy yourself a new vehicle. But there are certain things that you need to ask and certain things that need to be declared by the dealership. And in my discussion this week with Liesel van der Vestes, and who was also in the market for a new vehicle, a number of things actually came up. Liesel, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Zane. Great to be here.
Tell us about your story of when you finally wanted to trade in your vehicle.
So I purchased a vehicle last year in July that was a 2017 model. So it was a pre-owned car from a reputable dealership with all the paperwork, with all the service history, and the car gave endless problems. It was more at the service center than at in the parking, in my parking bay, or me behind the wheel. And eventually I thought, you know, I'm so sick and tired of this car. The engine had blown and it costs a couple of hundreds of thousands to replace because it was out of the motor plan warranty eventually. Then just everything that could go wrong went wrong. And I thought, let's go to a dealership, trade it in, or get one of the guys from the car companies that we hear advertising on radio all the time just to come and give us a quote on the car. And the guy actually turned around and said to me, but this vehicle was in an accident. When were you in an accident in it? And I said, no. Okay. I was never in an accident.
Okay, hold on. So you were never in an accident
with
this vehicle?
Never in an accident in this vehicle.
Did the dealership where you bought the vehicle, you know, in July, did they actually declare, did you ask specifically?
I did.
I think this is the important thing about this conversation is the questions that we need to ask the dealership before we buy a car, and what is the dealership's responsibility and what they should declare to you?
So we actually sent an email asking if this car was in an accident, and we got a reply saying it never been in an accident. And as I drove it off the floor, there were some mechanical problems with the car as well. And I turned to the guy who was giving the demonstration and I said, are you sure this car wasn't in an accident? Because it just seems as if everything's going wrong with it. And he went, no, it's just a mechanical thing. Come back tomorrow and fetch it tomorrow. We'll just fix it. So on two occasions, verbally and on an email. And then I phoned another dealership of the same brand and I asked someone there just to check on the system if this car had been in an accident. And they said, no, they couldn't pick it up on their system. And I saw a tweet from Chiro, and Chiro's tweet was a reply to someone saying, what do I need to look for when I buy a pre-owned car? And he said, pay, and I can't quote it now, I should have actually looked for the tweet, and I'm sure Chiro will say it, will explain it properly. He said, pay for the panel beta or an independent audit on the vehicle. And I thought, that's a good idea. Let me take it to my local panel beta. And as I drove in, the guy with an incredible eye looked at it and went, yes, the paint is two different colors. You can see immediately. And within 2 minutes, he showed me points that you need to look at on your car to see if it had been in an accident.
And the panel shop gave you a report indicating exactly what was wrong with this vehicle. So where do you stand? Did you just say, I'm giving this vehicle in, I can't handle it anymore, and buy a new one?
So when we tried to sell it, they wouldn't take it, the independent companies that you buy vehicles, sell vehicles to. I then took it straight to the dealership with the photographs and the report. They were quite surprised and shocked because they didn't realize that it had been, because their system, this dealership system, had shown that this car had never been in an accident. And they were very gracious and they handled it really great. I don't know what legally what my standpoint would have been, but we came to an arrangement and they've subsequently replaced the vehicle. And they really were great about it, and they were really shocked by what they'd seen on the photographs. But this car had been in an accident in 2017, written off and rebuilt and sold as a pre-owned vehicle that hadn't been in an accident. So someone had obviously sold it to the dealership as a vehicle, which was then eventually sold to us.
Trudy Brookman joins us on the line this morning, and we'll be discussing this issue with Trudy as to exactly where the responsibility lies. If you have had this opportunity and you've had a case in point where the vehicle that you were driving was involved in an accident and then hadn't been declared by the dealership, what happened in your case? You can join the conversation and chat to us on 0214460567 or on the WhatsApp line on 0725671567. Trudy, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show. You've been listening to the conversation with myself and Liesl. Where do we go wrong? You're a consumer lawyer. You know that people need to ask the questions before anything. And in this case, the questions were asked. The request was made, both verbally as well as in an email. Clarify the situation for us, Trudy. Good morning to you and welcome to Cape Talk.
Hi, Zane. Thanks so much. I am so pleased to hear that Liesl has had a good outcome, and that is one of the type of stories that don't cross my desk. The ones that come to me as a consumer attorney are the ones where the dealership simply resists and says, not my problem, I'm not going to assist you. So I'm just very heartened to hear that there are dealerships who have a great conscience and who act accordingly out there in the market. And what I would almost encourage is that we say who the dealership was and recommend that consumers deal with the dealership who does, even though they didn't realize they were selling a rebuilt vehicle, at least faces up to the thing and takes it back again. Although don't buy a 2017 Range Rover from them. What does the law say? The Consumer Protection Act governs exactly this type of situation. And then on top of that, we have our common law, which comes from Roman times, which governs ethics in terms of selling and buying. And one of those important rules that governs our whole society's morals in terms of buying a product from a dealer is the principle that the dealer is not allowed to mislead the consumer about any important or substantial aspect of the product that he's selling. So if you have been misled by a dealer or a seller for example, a vehicle, then you can go back and invalidate the sale. You can cancel the sale and get your money back if it's to do with a substantial aspect. And here, what we're dealing with, if it was a little smash where you have a fender bend or whatever, and that's fully repaired, that sort of accident isn't something that the dealer is obliged to communicate to the consumer.
But where do we draw the line, Trudy? Sorry to break your word, but where do we draw the line in terms of what is reportable and what is not reportable? If my bumper is damaged in an accident and I repaired the bumper, it's got very little to do with the actual mechanical running of the vehicle. If my door is dented, the door can be repaired. So, where do we draw the line? What is it that a panel shop has got to report and must put on the NATIS system or on the MUA system when this happens? So, where do we draw the line? Because a number of panel shops will repair vehicles and they will actually sell those vehicles themselves.
Yes. So what we're looking at is whether it's a substantial impact that is still left in the vehicle after the repairs. So if the car is not safe to drive, if it's not roadworthy, or if the accident repairs have left the vehicle in a substantially less valuable condition than it would have been without those repairs. So you get two types of repairs, really. I'm speaking very broadly, and obviously it's there's work that can be done in between. But generally, if you go to an accredited mechanic who does the repairs according to the manufacturer's requirements, then you get a repair which should leave the car in approximately the same condition as it was before the accident, assuming that you have reputable good work done. But often the work that is done is a little bit cheaper, and it's very tempting for one to rather go for a bit of a cheaper mechanic who will rather use filler instead of replacing a part. He's going to panel beat it a little bit and just respray. And even if, Zane, you are left with a vehicle which mechanically is 100% sound, which to an untrained eye, looks as though it's 100% again. If there is an indication like Lisa was describing, where the colors aren't exactly matched, and a mechanic can look at it or a dealership can look at it, and when you try and trade the car in or you resell it, then you're going to suddenly wipe off 100,000 Rand, 50,000 Rand from the value of your car because the repairs weren't done in an expert manner, then that also needs to be disclosed because it makes the issue is whether it's a substantial misleading of the consumer. And if it's going to take a lot of value off the vehicle and you are paying a price as though the repairs were done perfectly, you also need to be made aware of that repair work. So in my book, if the vehicle's safety, structural integrity, roadworthiness is affected, or if the value of the vehicle is substantially affected, then that needs to be disclosed by the dealer to the consumer. And the Consumer Protection Act comes down very hard on you if you mislead a consumer. That's prohibited conduct, and it can expose a dealer to fine of up to 1 million Rand or 10% of their turnover, whichever is the higher amount. So you can complain about a dealership to the National Consumer Commission, and the tribunal will impose that fine. That doesn't help the consumer necessarily. What the consumer needs to know is that if there has been this substantial misleading, if there's been what we call substantial misrepresentation to you, then you are entitled to cancel the contract, take the car back, get your money back, cancel with a financier, with a bank, whoever has financed you, and you're entitled to those remedies in terms of the consumer protection.
We'll chat to Leighton Beard in a minute or two in terms of exactly how you go about, where do you take your vehicle and how do you actually go about it. But John in Woodstock has given us a call. John, a very good morning to you. Your question for Trudy Brookman?
Thank you. Good morning. Well, I missed the first part of what you were saying, but I think the second part answered it. My question is going to be, how substantial must an accident be? If someone sort of hits you on the side and it's just panel beating and a bit of a spraying job, surely you don't have to disclose that. Or are you talking mainly about like engine and structural problems?
For me, I would like, and I know that, that there is a particular level that you've just explained to say, whether anything that affects the actual price of the vehicle or the resale value of the vehicle. If one particular dealership looks at it and says, but this door has been dented and it's actually been repaired and not replaced, that will affect the value of the vehicle. I don't know that. And this is the difficult part of it all, Trudy, is that when you buy the vehicle, they tell you it's got a boot spoiler, it's got a sunroof, it's got everything. When you sell the vehicle, they say, oh, those things don't matter.
Zane, you're right. John, maybe I can give you a few bits to the answer if we look at the coin from different sides. If you err on the side of disclosing everything, then you are safe in the sense that the consumer can never bring back the vehicle and require you to repair that defect at your expense. If you don't disclose it, in terms of Section 55.6, you would be liable to repair, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, whatever you didn't disclose to the consumer. So erring on the side of disclosing more rather than less is definitely a sensible approach. It's good for customer relations, and it saves you from having to do repairs at your expense after the fact. In terms of what you must disclose, so I'm recommending that you disclose as much as possible. If you think that's going to lose you a sale, then I recommend that you certainly have an obligation to disclose everything which is substantial, which substantially affects the price, substantially affects the vehicle's usability. Because certain And then certainly where a vehicle like this has been written off and rebuilt, that definitely needs to be disclosed to a consumer. They're entitled to know what class of vehicle we're dealing with here, and the insurance industry has got various classes. Class 1, for example, no problems. Class 2, small accidents. Class 3, a more serious accident which has been repaired. And then Class 4, a vehicle which has been completely written off. And those vehicles are not allowed to be sold again. So this would be a Class 3 that we're talking about here.
Trudy Brookman, thank you so much for your time. Consumer lawyer, putting things into perspective as to what exactly is your legal right. If you've had a vehicle or bought a vehicle that has had substantial damage to it and this was not disclosed to you, and eventually what happened is that when you went to go and trade it in, you did not get the relative value for that vehicle or the good trade-in value for the vehicle, and you were told, no, but this vehicle was in an accident and therefore we cannot give you the full value of the vehicle. I'd love to hear from you on 0214460567 and on the WhatsApp line on 0725671567. Leighton Beard, the spokesperson for the AA, is with us this morning. Good morning, Leighton, and welcome to Cape Talk again.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you and your listeners.
You've been listening to this conversation, and your thoughts on this, because I know that the AA actually offers a service to say, bring your vehicle to us. Does it include any structural damage to the vehicle, or is it just, checking the brakes and checking that the engine is running? And I mean, there are certain things that you can see immediately, but other things that are not visible to the naked eye.
Sure. So, I mean, just a couple of points on that. First of all, it's very important that, whoever is buying a vehicle has the peace of mind knowing that they're getting a car that is in good shape and that was not in a crash previously, because from a safety point of view alone, that's obviously quite dangerous. And then obviously from a resale point of view, that just devalues the value of the vehicle. So two things that I think are quite important that I would flag now. First of all, the AA does offer reports on vehicles, and those are available through our website. AA validation and AA verification reports are provided. And on the verification report, when you put the VIN number and the details of that vehicle in, it will tell you if there is a police interest in that vehicle. So that already should give you an indication of whether that vehicle is legit and can be sold. And then it gives you all kinds of other details, like the last 5 retail sales of that vehicle, the total estimated retail value, and based on those on that data, you will get a very good idea of the price that you're looking at compared to the price that the actual report gives you. So that's very important. It also looks at the engine number and the color. So I would suggest, and Trudy has made mention of this in the past as well, if you are looking at buying a vehicle, do that check through the AA. It does cost you a bit of money, but when I say a bit, I mean nothing more than R100. So it's R100 well spent, and it can save you a lot of pain in the long run. And then obviously, we're opening what we call AA Auto Centers, where we do perform 125-point checks on vehicles, and these are available, unfortunately, not in the Western Cape. We are opening centers there in the near future, but at the moment, you can take them to AA-certified pre-owned outlets, and there are one or two that are in the Western Cape, and the details of that are also on the website. And you can take your vehicle there, and that check will tell you the condition of the vehicle. It's not a pass or fail test. It just tells you this is what we found on the vehicle. And through that examination, you should be able to pick up quite quickly whether that vehicle has been repaired to the extent that bodywork or extensive bodywork has been performed on that vehicle.
Leighton, so how do I buy a vehicle and take it off the shop floor and take it to the AA or an AA accredited dealership and say, I first want this vehicle to be tested through the AA? Yeah. A number of dealerships are going to say, what? Are you what? And you get that apprehension. And it might be that the vehicle is in a completely perfect or wonderful condition and a great condition, especially it's a pre-owned vehicle, so you're not buying something brand new off the floor. And in terms of that experience, the moment you say AA, it's going to sound alarm bells for you if the dealership is not willing to take it to the AA and have it tested.
Absolutely. And I appreciate that it's not always going to be an easy process. And that if you do buy it through a dealership, they will tell you that, look, we've done the checks on this and we're confident that this vehicle is in good condition. So the first thing is obviously you do your own homework. You go on the AA's website, you check the VIN numbers, you check the police, you know, if there's police interest and all of this stuff. And certainly you want to do a thorough inspection of that vehicle yourself. If you are in a position to, you do need to negotiate that vehicle gets taken to somebody before you actually make the purchase and before that sale is made. If there's apprehension from the dealership in terms of you purchasing that vehicle, I agree with you, Zane. I think that may be a red flag. And you can ask the question as to, but why don't you want somebody else to look at this vehicle before I purchase it? And I want peace of mind. You know, people are putting down a lot of money to buy vehicles. And when they make that purchase, they need to be confident that what they're buying is not a lemon. And they've got to do all the homework they can. And part of that homework is actually having an independent third party inspect that vehicle to give an assessment of it and to give the buyer the assurance that they're buying something that is legitimate and in good condition. So we would obviously urge people, if you are in a position to negotiate that with the person selling the vehicle, the dealership, and if they don't want you to do that, you should be asking some hard questions as to, but why don't you want me to do this through a third party?
Leighton Beard chatting to us, AA spokesperson in Johannesburg and consumer lawyer Trudy Brookman. We're chatting about vehicles and what to look out, especially this time of the year, where you go out and would like to buy a pre-owned vehicle, because it's expensive. Let's face it, buying a new vehicle with the interest rates and everything, you're having to buy a vehicle at 45% residual, which you eventually have to pay, and it becomes just a very big challenge, and especially where you work at odd times, you work at difficult times, and let's face it, that public transport in the Western Cape is not at its best at the moment. It is improving, but it's not at its best. Trudy, your last passing thoughts to people who are still wanting to buy a vehicle this time of the year?
I want to really underline what the gentleman from the AA has said. Leighton's advice is excellent. I think as a consumer myself, I never thought that it's possible that one could buy a stolen vehicle. I assumed that there were systems in place that would prevent that. But just in the last few months, we've had two clients who have contacted us who were driving their secondhand car that they'd recently bought, were stopped at a roadblock, and the vehicle was confiscated as having been stolen. They were completely innocent in the situation. The dealership that they had dealt with had sold a stolen vehicle to them. In both cases, we got the client's full money back and their legal fees, but nevertheless, it's worthwhile doing all the checks. Don't get stars in your eyes and just kick the tires and think that will be enough. Go through the pain and time and effort and expense of getting the secondhand vehicle, especially properly checked out. And if you get stuck, you know, none of us are a mechanic unless that's your day job. So all of us can be duped into buying a vehicle that does have problems. Speak to your consumer attorney quickly. If the defect raises its ugly head within the first 6 months after you've purchased, you have a right to cancel the transaction right up front, but you must do it in time. So act fast when you see trouble with a vehicle and make use of your rights in terms of the Consumer Protection Act.
Trudy Brookman, consumer lawyer, thank you so much. Leighton Beard, spokesperson for the AA.